Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
All that ridicule you took, every bit of the ridicule you took after getting your butt beat, when you pound on their butt tonight, you think about that. You take every bit of your energy, every fiber in your bone, and you take it and you beat the piss out of them. I'm talking about beat the piss out of them. Let's go whip their ass. Let's go.
I have not looked at this. Well, actually, I kind of peeked at them yesterday, the spreads for week 9. We'll get into that here in a bit. Hour 3 will be Balls of Steel nominations, among other items, during that hour. 615-844-5600 on Twitter, at Bill S. King, and you can email the show, BillSKing7@gmail.com. Yeah, a couple of notes here, and then we'll get a call. Two controversial plays. Well, I'm sure there are others, but that stand out. The finish of the IU game, hosting Penn State. Michael Penix had to go for two twice. The second time was to win the game. It was in overtime. He's stretching out. Now, here is where the debate is. He's stretching out with his, I guess, is that his left hand? Yeah. And the ball does briefly hit out of bounds in his hand before it hits the pylon. Pylon is in play, okay? It's considered inbounds. It looks like the point of the ball, though, might well have crossed the invisible plane before the ball touched out of bounds and hit the pylon. It was angled that way. It was called originally a conversion. So to change that call, you'd have to have irrefutable evidence. I have seen every angle that's out there. I just posted what I think is the best angle, and it's a slow motion. It's on Twitter. I just posted it. And I don't think that's conclusive enough. It was deemed that the point of the ball crossed the plane before the ball touched out of bounds and then the pylon. That's what had to be determined there, and they didn't have enough to reverse the original call. In the Ole Miss-Auburn game, has anybody seen, I haven't, a clear picture of the kickoff that looked like it just nipped the Auburn player's finger? Which would have been an Ole Miss touchdown, which would have changed the outcome of that game, which they didn't even officially now stop the game and review. They didn't think there was anything to it. Ole Miss fans out there, somebody, if there's an angle there that shows this, let me see it. I haven't seen it yet. Cosby Cattleman, welcome in.
Well, here, Monsieur King, another Monday, another entertaining college football weekend, another cattle call. Well, good to have some sports.
You're up early, man. Easy on the dickle?
Yeah, 8 o'clock on the pretty side of the plateau. That's not too bad.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Bill, was wanting to talk about what you've been discussing. Get a couple of knickknacks first. I'd like to welcome the Kentucky fans back to earth. They've been chirping a little bit.
Yeah.
guess they're not going to win the East.
Probably not. No.
Yeah. And then Pruitt saying we're closing the gap and we didn't cover. Line was 22, got beat by 31, we're closing the gap.
Well, I'm sure he's trying to put a happy face on it. I didn't see any gap being closed there in that game.
Hey, Bill, first off, let's go the Kiffin game. It was a complete hose job. I assume you were watching it live, right, SEC Network, Jordan Rogers?
I was watching it.
Okay, well, they showed, remember when they put the dude's hand, the Auburn guy's hand in yellow, remember that?
I might not have seen that part.
The finger clearly moves. I mean, he probably didn't even know he touched it. You know, he didn't really go scurrying to the end zone. I mean, these guys wear gloves and stuff. The finger clearly moves a good 4 or 5 millimeters, whatever. He just clearly moves. Jordan Rodgers proceeds to go just blast in the SEC. I think he figured a little voice inside his head said, man, if I don't shut up about this, I'm going to get fired. That's inexcusable not halting play and going to Birmingham for a review. Inexcusable. I mean, who the hell you think is in Birmingham but a bunch of Bammers and Auburn people?
Yeah, I thought that was sketchy. You got to stop play and go look at that.
You know, zebras on the field miss plays and you can't review them, but when you have a reviewable play like that and you don't even go to a full official replay, that is inexcusable. That call was missed twice. He was missed on the field. Anybody could have missed that one on the field, but there's no excuse for the booth not to stop and play there. And here's the thing, Bill. If you remember back when Kiffin was at FAU, he did something on Twitter and got fined for it. I don't think that's ever happened before or since to a coach. I noticed he had retweeted something on Twitter about it. You get hosed like that, and then how dare you say something about it, or here comes Sankey with a fine.
Well,
The SEC wants to fine Jeremy Pruitt for not wearing a mask correctly. They ought to fine themselves hell $500,000 for not reviewing the play.
That's why I put out the plea. I need some different angles on this so I can post them.
Why don't they send Ole Miss the $350,000 they took fining some of these coaches for not wearing a mask, for screwing the pooch, for not doing their job?
Probably not going to do that.
Yeah, I know. But here's the thing, Bill. The worst thing about it is I haven't heard anybody contend the Auburn guy didn't touch it. So if you're looking for debate on that, I think you're going to have a hard time finding somebody saying he didn't touch it. Maybe you can find an Auburn fan or something. But here's the deal, Bill. We remember this right now, but towards the end of the season, we'll forget about it. Next year, we probably won't remember it unless they show it, when the game comes around next year, and all it is, it shows up as a big fat L for Kiffin. He's trying to build a program. Didn't have a spring practice, and what did he get? He gets hosed by the league office. That's the worst thing I've seen in a while, Bill. I mean, in any given college football Saturday, you'll see a missed or blown call. But when was the last time you saw a review booth fail to do their job? In the NFL, they send it up to New York. You got Mike Pereira coming in every controversial play. I think the SEC Network's got one of those guys, too. Kiffin said a zebra went to him and said, hey, coach, they already looked at it. In like 3 seconds. Hell, you probably need about 5 or 6 replays of that to confirm it. You can't do it in 3 or 4 seconds.
Kiffin said in the post game that even though they didn't stop the game, every play gets replayed up in the booth, gets reviewed,
right.
But not officially. Right. They didn't stop it this time and take their time with it, is your point.
Yeah, but that's what the league says unofficially. On plays like that, scoring plays, right, on big and crucial plays, you're supposed to halt play and actually go for as long a review as they need. That's just what these zebras say. That's not an answer. That's just what they're trying to pull.
Was there any video from behind the player? Because the side view it wasn't good enough for me. I needed something behind him.
I think they had 2 views of it. It seems like they had a view coming straight from the end zone and then kind of like from about 8 o'clock. But the interesting thing to me was Jordan Rodgers. I mean, he blasted the league probably for a good 5 minutes on the telecast, and then I think he finally figured out, I better shut up or I'm not going to be back. What do you think Jordan Rodgers and those guys get paid to do those games? I think I've heard $5,000 a piece to those dudes to call those games.
Probably somewhere in there.
So is it worth $5,000 to him to keep Rick and Sankey, or do you just have to self censor yourself?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes there. I haven't talked to anybody about it, but
like I say, when 3 years from now, when Kiffin's in year 4 and everybody starts looking at records, that'll just show up as an L. We won't remember anything about this. Hey, one last thing for you, Bill. I'm going to go ahead and just throw it out there. It's time to pop cornbread and bring in Hugh Freeze. And if, bottom line now, UT's got the money to do it. He's roached. It's time to go get Hugh Freeze. Period.
Bring you to Rocky Top.
It's time to go get him now.
You talk to your boy Fulmer about that.
I'm a Kiffin guy. I'd love to go see, you know, Kiffin come back, but it's probably not good for his career to job jump again. They need to go get Hugh Freeze right now. I was listening to Doug Matthews' excuse show.
Yeah.
You know what the problem with UT football is, Bill? They let UT football turn into Doug Matthews, Fatmer, and Kippy Brown's clubhouse. That's why we're going through this mess. And throw Dandy Randy Sanders and Chavis in there, too. Hell, since they don't have an offensive, a defensive line coach, why don't they let Chavis work for about $150,000 a year, let him coach the defensive line? He's in town. Hang coach, in there, Bill.
He's coaching at junior high. I think the season's over, though. Andy on Twitter this morning. Bill, I look forward to Monday, 7:04 every week because hashtag Coach Probst. Andy in Gulf Shores. Yeah, I love it. Brent, Bill, what did you think about the call? I am biased, so curious what others think. He's talking about the Penn State IU finish, Michael Penix. Regardless, Bill, Penn State got what they deserved. This game should have never sniffed overtime. Poor clock management with under 2 minutes to go. Correct. Terrible. Absolutely correct. Rod, a Buckeye in Texas. Bill, look who is the starting quarterback for Maryland. It's Tua's little brother. Yes, not a good debut. Not good at all. Noel Kev, Bill, Kentucky played Missouri and didn't even crack that winder. They didn't bust a great party at all. Now, I don't want to take away from Missouri in the game, but that was a very unmotivated Kentucky football team. That's why I try and tell you, with few exceptions, and there are exceptions, every Saturday is a reset. You've got to look at it that way. Kentucky should have looked at it that way. They didn't. It's a reset. Every Saturday is a fresh slate. Unless you're Alabama, Clemson, Buckeyes, I'll put in that category right now. That's about it. You pretty much know what you're getting there. But everybody else, you better look at that next Saturday as forget what we just did. Those points that we just scored aren't carrying over to the scoreboard this week. You don't get credit for those points this Saturday coming up. You've got to start with zero. And that's why you have to look at these Saturdays that way. If not, you'll be all confused. Got to get the break. I believe Jim is next up. We'll get to Jim up in Ramsey as we continue. Omni Nashville Hotel.
I got a recipe for you, okay? It's going to blow your mind. Now, you like to deep fry. I understand that. And it's very, very good. I've had them before. They're delicious. Now, first off, you start with your stuffing. This is where I blow your mind. Get yourself 10 frozen White Castle hamburgers. A cup and a half of diced celery, 1 1/4 teaspoon of thyme, 1 1/4 teaspoon of sage, black pepper, and 1/4 cup of chicken broth. Now, these burgers probably are thawed out by now. You want to thaw it out. And then crumble them up, mix that all together, stuff it in your bird. And then what you do is you get a heavy-duty aluminum foil. Before you wrap up your bird, rub it down real good. Take your injector, hot butter, melted, inject it in the breast and underneath the skin, wrap it up, cook it for 5 hours at 325, and you're going to blow your mind.
Good morning. We're looking live at this minor wreck here, 65 southbound, before you get to Trinity Lane. It's actually just past that 24 interchange there on 65 southbound. It's a crash. Bell Road at Cane Ridge still getting some attention. 65 south near between Harding Place and OHB. They're reporting a wreck there as you head down to Brentwood. Usually they move those over to the side pretty quickly. Hey, celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, check it out, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
One of the real joys of growing up in Nashville has been the visit to the flea market. And like a lot of things that are going on in our world right now, stuff has been turned upside down. The flea market staff misses you. They want you to know that. But for your convenience, during this downtime, they have set up a virtual flea market. You can go on the website, virtualnashvilleflea market.com, to get more details. And for more information, visit the website, thefairgrounds.com/flea market. Now, where does all of this get into sports? I'm about to tell you. The folks at the flea market will be the weekly sponsor of the Metro Nashville High School Football Report. It'll air each week, Friday, 2:25 p.m. Join us, and when things get better, go visit the flea market.
At Slim Chickens, we're known for our 100% all-natural buffalo wings. Fresh, delicious, and fried to perfection. Now available in two new dry rub flavors. Our house favorite, Cayenne Ranch, blends cool with a kick of cayenne. And lemon pepper brings tangy zest and a punch of black pepper. But hurry, get them while you can. Whether you're dining in, driving through, or ordering online, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
Bill King is the mother 12th data point of college football.
I'm the guy that holds the belt above my head.
Jim, I could see him tweeting on Saturday. He was very excited. Rutgers goes to Sparty, takes care of business. What's up, Jim?
You know, Bill, if Rutgers doesn't win a game for the rest of the season, that was an example of Greg Schiano building culture from the ground up. The kids didn't quit. They played in control, and they controlled their emotions. You know what? It was good to see. So, I mean, next week they play Indiana right out of the gate at home. But, you know what? It was good to see because it's been like a ship without a rudder the last 5 years.
Yeah, I saw Schiano where he said, I told the team, no matter what, play hard. No matter what, if things go bad, don't worry about it. Play hard. Rally. Take care of your teammates. And they did that.
Hey, Bill, when it comes to recruiting, there were two local kids that play at St. Joseph's Regional, which is where the McCourty brothers are from. There's probably about five guys in the NFL from there, but it's a great program. In fact, Rutgers hired their head coach, Augie Hoffman, who's a really great guy and a great coach. There were two kids that verbally committed from St. Joe's to Michigan State. Does that change when a team like Rutgers, which is the in-state school, beats a team that kids have committed to? Do you think it makes kids think twice about going there?
There's no clear-cut answer to that. It gives you your sales pitch. to go and say, look at where we're at, look at where they're at. We just met up and we got a great out of it. You saw the outcome there. Come stay local, go to State U, Rutgers. That's your sales pitch now that you have an outcome. But you never know. Every player's different, so you never know how players react to situations. If Michigan State is a just cesspool of losing and culturally just looks messy this year, that probably will hurt them.
But Dan Antonio was like a Shiano. I mean, he developed players. Did he leave them with that much of a dumpster fire?
Yes. That their days of being meaningful under him were done. They were over.
But does this tie into, like, the gymnastics medical doctor and all that stuff? Does that leach down into the football program, or is that totally separate?
Oh, I mean it hurts the brand. Now if you're just a football player and you're in the weight room or you're working out or you're trying to be better, I mean that shouldn't hurt you, but it hurts the brand for sure. And when you're out selling the brand, I'm sure you have to answer questions that doesn't have to do anything with you. Totally not relevant to what you're doing. So it can be certainly a detriment.
Gotcha. You know what, Bill? So we'll see what happens. But you know what? I think it just shows that Shiano is a culture guy, and Rutgers, that's what they need. You know what? I'd be happy if Rutgers turns into a Purdue or an Indiana in 5 years, where they're competitive, a Northwestern, where they don't get embarrassed. I don't expect them to go to the Rose Bowl this year, but you know what? It was positive.
Yeah.
And on a side note, I'm happy that Army's having an opportunity to host the Army-Navy game. I think that'll be pretty neat that it's going to be on campus like that.
How far is West Point from you and your location in New Jersey?
45 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. That's why you're over there all the time.
Bill, it's great. I have to get you and Michelle up. I know you're like, you know what, Bill? I'll get my friend to bring his truck with 5 TVs, with satellites, with his DirecTV, and we'll put you right back in the van after the game. But I'd love for you guys to come up. It you know what? Both places have a nice tailgate, Rutgers and Army, but Army is really pretty because it's up in the mountains, you know, where the mountains start in New York State. Going west out into the Catskills, it's nice. The Hudson Valley is beautiful.
I bet.
But yeah. Well, have a great one.
Yeah, Jim.
I thought that Balls of Steel, Bill, is definitely that Indiana coach. I was shocked he even made that call at that particular time, but that was the ultimate Balls of Steel.
Appreciate it, Jim. Thanks for checking in. Shannon in South Bend, Indiana. Bill, have you mentioned the Irish this morning? Nice reset for God Squad over Narduzzi and the welder's mask. Looked good on all three phases of the ball. Yeah, it came up. I brought it up last hour. The Irish, I thought the Pitt game would be a white knuckler. And it was a dominant performance, both sides of the ball. And they got bad news to start the game because Kevin Austin, who we've been waiting on for seemingly forever, their wide receiver, who's either been injured or suspended, was getting back in the rotation. And last Thursday, we found out, I guess on Saturday, he busted his ankle again. He's done. Barely done for the year. Again. Again and again and again. But they have developed Michael Mayer, the freshman tight end out of Kentucky at Notre Dame, is their next All-American tight end. Matter of fact, I think he's good enough right now. He's that kind of weapon. He's 6'5", about 250, and you just watch him. He's a hellacious athlete. I've seen him hurdle people. And they're using him a lot now. They're using him more and more and more. Now, the number one tight end, obviously, is Kyle Pitts. But, and this kid's a freshman, but this kid is the next Notre Dame big-time All-American. They got a lot of people in that ballgame, too. They got a lot of people with reps in that ballgame. So that was good. They have Georgia Tech, and then they have the Clemson game. Again, circle that. The Clemson game is next in line. Karen says, Bill, it's still cheap. Round trip, nonstop. You can fly from where she's at in the Houston area. She's in the Woodlands area, which is Houston. To the 615 for commitments, $226. John in L.A. weeks ago got his booked. Los Angeles to the 615, $150. Now, I don't know if it was nonstop and all. I don't know the particulars there, but that's still cheap. She says that flight a year ago would have been $567 a year ago. So at least cut in half. That's not bad. Josh in London. Bill, Olave and Wilson is the best wide receiver duo in college football. Well, with Waddle out, that's a compelling argument. With Waddle in, they wouldn't be. They're damn good. But Waddle, Smitty, and Mechie, that was the best receiving core. With Waddle out, again, I'll repeat, the best home run hitting player with his hands on the ball in college football is out. First play of the Tennessee game, kick return. Busted ankle, and he's going to get surgery. He's out. That's sad. Yeah, I kind of soured that game. I had it. Obviously, I have all the games, but that kind of soured that game for me. I pretty much knew what the outcome would be, but soured the game for me. Rod, a Buckeye in Texas. Bill, tell Cosby if he wants to see a game with blown calls, go watch the Ohio State-Clemson game. Last year's semifinal. Last year's semi. Major moves. Bill, you think Tennessee fans were impressed with Shiano Saturday? They don't like Shiano. No, they're not. If Shiano went, 8-0 with the schedule we've got for this year, they still wouldn't like him. Yeah, Vol Twitter decided that Shiano's a no-go no matter what. But Shiano did look pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. Okay. Here is what we need to do. We need to get the break at the bottom of the hour. I still don't have a compelling picture of the Ole Miss-Auburn play. The kickoff. I've seen the replay, but has anybody seen some kind of still or slow motion of that? It looked like the ball was barely tipped by the finger, which should have meant touchdown Ole Miss. That's what I thought in real time and then with the replays. But I haven't seen the precise exact. The replays of the Michael Penix IU Penn State game is better than anything I've seen in the Ole Miss Auburn controversy, if you will. Coming right back. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
One of the first things we tell our players is keep in touch with their families. And when our freshmen first arrive, we ask them to write a postcard home right then. You know, we keep them pretty busy, but they always have time to pick up the phone and call. And it's real important to keep in touch. Have you called your mama today? I sure wish I could call mine. Reach out and touch someone.
Good morning. TDOT did a good job of moving that crash quickly there on 24 East at the Settlement Evans Bridge. That's just up from Shelby. 1600 block of Murfreesboro. Pike's one of the latest wrecks. Checking a crash 40 eastbound near Stewart's Ferry Pike. The heaviest flow is coming westbound, obviously. All that traffic out of Mount Juliet right now into Hermitage. Celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, check it out, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Slight chance of drizzle, high 62. Slight chance of drizzle tonight, low 52. Slight chance of showers tomorrow, high 67. Mostly cloudy with chance of showers tomorrow night, low 52. Chance of showers Wednesday, high 71. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stein.
Sports Radio WNSR.
He doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
Man, Harbaugh ain't never done nothing. He's the college football version of a Kardashian without the nice ass.
You know, we haven't heard from Wolverine Dan. I figured he'd be all over this. With that debut for the Amazing Blue at Minnesota. That was dominating. I expected that game to be another white knuckler. I thought that'd be last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter kind of game. Was, other than the block and the score early, that game was never in jeopardy, in my opinion. Michigan had control of both sides of the line of scrimmage. They were more physical. They were better, clearly, in that ball game. Yeah, that game did not – the style, but the way that game circumnavigated is not what I thought would happen. I thought that'd be a back-and-forth brawl till about the last 5 minutes or so, with Minnesota maybe winning that game. Dominant Michigan win. Now, how does that translate? Still unclear. It was impressive, and I thought, other than Ohio State, that was the most impressive-looking Big Ten team I saw. It's one game, but that's where I'm at after one game. That's all we've got. Down to the Rocket City. What's up, John?
Hey, good morning, Bill.
Morning.
Yeah. Hey, looks like old Harbaugh might finally have him a quarterback. I thought that kid looked good.
Joe Milton's a Florida kid. And remember him from recruiting. Everybody's been talking about him. He's a big kid like that T.J. Finley player down at LSU. He's 6'5", about 250. And he handled things well. I agree with you.
He did. He looked good. But the reason I called, man, you know, I'm an Alabama fan, and it just seems like for the second year in a row, And I'm not talking in the sense of costing us a championship, because I know how hard that is to do. But it just seems like I'm going to be cheated out of watching a great player make great plays. You know what I mean? With Waddle gone now for the rest of the season, and then losing Tua for possibly four or five games last year. You know, because they just they just do things that you just don't normally see on a football field. And I hate that. I hate it for Waddle. I really do. I think he was really enjoyed playing college ball, but he'd be crazy not to enter the draft as good as he is.
Yeah, no. You got to go get paid. You got to go. I'm sad about that because I love watching him play. He was the most electric player in college football with the ball, period. Hate that.
Absolutely, man. He could fly. But I tell you something, but when it happened, as soon as it happened, and his reaction, I could tell it wasn't a sprain. I could tell he had a fracture, a break, or something. You just tell by his – he was angry. He knew it was over. And I hate it. I certainly hate it. But I think Alabama will do well. I just don't know if they can go all the way now because, you know, with Waddle out, you know, they can double-team Smith and manage the others, I think. I really believe that.
So. Mechie's played well, and now it's Slade Bolden's turn. And Slade Bolden is a Louisiana kid who's a very, very good player. It's just not good enough to get reps because Waddle's sitting there in front of you. But that kid is a playmaker. And he played quarterback in high school, played everything. Played DB and put up a million yards passing and running. That kid's going to explode. Now, does he have the breakaway speed of Waddle? Nobody does in college football. But watch out for Slade Bolden. Number 18 is going to be a player for them. He's the next guy.
Yeah, he not to interrupt you, but I think he played a little bit of Wildcat, or I don't say Wildcat, but running plays at quarterback last year. And I'd never heard of him. But, yeah, he's a baller.
He's just a ball player. And I am told that if it came down to Mac Jones out, let's say, got injured, and then Bryce Young comes in, he gets injured. I'm just making this stuff up. I'm told that Bolden would be perhaps the next quarterback. That's who they'd go with.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll tell you, Bryce came in throwing some BBs the other day. I thought he looked pretty good. But anyway, hey, one more thing. Did Coffee Cattleman, did he call Pruitt cornbread a while ago?
He's changed the name. Yes, he did.
He's funny, man. I love to hear him come on. And I don't think he really tries that hard to be funny. He's just naturally good at it.
He's been doing that for 20-something years.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot, Bill.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. That was the Cosby Cattleman, and that's what he said. True. Clay, who is a ref, football, basketball, and baseball. So Clay's done it for many, many years. Regarding that Ole Miss-Auburn game and the kickoff and the review or lack thereof, etc., says, Bill, two of my ref friends were on the crew, but they were not involved in that call. In my opinion, he says, the ball touched his finger. The ball changed direction, but LJ was moving instead of stopping and getting a good look. So that's the line, Judge. So he just let it go and definitely should have been a review. I agree. Yeah, I agree. Also, Karen points out, this is Terry McCauley, who is a TV ref analyst, right? Very well known. He says, indisputable, this is a tweet, video evidence, again, the Ole Miss-Auburn play, indisputable video evidence is required for replay to reverse the ruling on the field. This was ruled not touched by the receiver. The ball was recovered by the kickers in the end zone. This appears to meet the standard, in my opinion. Should have been an Ole Miss touchdown, he says. Karen points that out. Puts that link out. Crazy Charlie, who'd you say we have next? Jordan. Oh, yeah, Jordan. Purdue student who is a Big Ten guy, loves Purdue. Purdue got a nice W to kick off the season as well. What's up, Jordan?
You know, Bill, not a whole lot. I don't think we've ever seen a day like Saturday where at the 3:30 time slot, Purdue and IU might have been the two best games of the afternoon.
I'm telling you. Yeah, now were you able to, you being a Purdue guy, were you able to monitor the IU game?
I was, yeah. So we have a couple TVs in our living room on game days. So I'd look over at IU a decent amount, and then Purdue got done a good amount before the IU game did. So I saw the end of regulation and then the overtime down there.
Hey, what was up with Rondale Moore? Why was he out?
You know, from what it sounds like, he tweaked a hamstring in practice a couple weeks ago. But, you know, I'm not really sure. It's been reported that he's going to be back this weekend for the Illinois game, but I guess we'll just see.
He and David Bell together is pretty wicked now.
Yeah, you're not kidding. I mean, David Bell, what a day on Saturday. I mean, that right. was unbelievable.
Right. I mean, I don't think – fans, and Jordan, you probably know this, but fans down here that cover or think about Alabama or Georgia or Florida or Clemson, they don't realize how good those kids are up there. I'd say most of them don't even know who they are, which is a mistake. Those kids are very, very good.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Rondale Moore and David Bell has got to be one of the best wide receiver duos in the country. I think it's right up there with Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle before Waddle got hurt this weekend. So it's a pretty special group we have up here.
Were you at all surprised about Michigan's domination at Minnesota?
You know, a little bit. I wondered how Michigan's offense was going to be. You know, Zach Charbonnet is a good running back, but Miller hadn't seen a lot of action in games. And
right.
You know, Minnesota replaced a lot on defense, so I guess I probably shouldn't have been as surprised as I was. But, you know, Minnesota didn't really get a ton going on offense, which did surprise me as well, because they have a lot back on that side of the ball.
Right. Yeah, I thought that would be a fourth quarter, back and forth slugfest of some sort, and it was done. Now, I guess you woke up to the news about Graham Mertz testing positive.
Yeah.
Well, that's not today's new news, but anyways, that could be 3 weeks. That's a blow right there now.
Well, that could be really big, because in week three of Big Ten play, Purdue heads up to Madison, and Purdue hasn't beaten Wisconsin since 2003.
Home or away?
Away.
Away. Okay. Okay. Well, and I don't know, Jack Cohn is the original starter. I don't think he's as good as Mertz, but he's got an ankle to a foot, and I don't know when he's going to be back.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, and I meant to look yesterday but never did. Do you know what Wisconsin has behind Mertz at all?
Well, without Jack Cohn, I do not know where the depth chart is there. No, I mean, it could be a true freshman of some sort.
That's what I was kind of thinking, too, or you know, someone who's really never thrown a pass. So
right.
That could be interesting there. That could get really interesting in the Big Ten West.
How did hey, I'll let you run, but how did it go with the coach situation? Jeff Brohm obviously out with COVID, can't be participating in the game, and his brother took over. How did that go?
You know, I thought it was interesting. Purdue announced their starting quarterback about an hour before kickoff, and they had a three-way competition. And in the past, Jeff Brohm has been very quick to pull the trigger on quarterbacks. And Purdue's offense was pretty flat in the third quarter, and Brian Brohm decided not to make a switch, and it paid off in the end. We were really good in the fourth quarter, and you know, Purdue got a big touchdown with 2 minutes to go to win it. I thought it went well. We stuck to the run more than Purdue typically does in games where they get a little flat on offense. And I think that was really important. So, you know, all things considered, I think it went about as well as it could go without having Brohm and without having Rondale Moore.
Hey, Jordan, stay in touch, bud.
Absolutely, Bill. Boiler up.
There you go. Jordan, big Purdue guy, goes to school. They're finishing up his senior year there. Big 10 fan as well. It was a good debut for the Big Ten. I enjoyed it. I know my snobby Southern buddies. I live down here too. We don't think anybody else plays football. They do. It might not excite us like the SEC does every day. It probably doesn't. It's still damn good ball. I still enjoy it. But I'm down here where they don't even think here in the South that they order shoulder pads. In West Lafayette, Indiana, they probably don't even have a shoulder pad budget, do they? Not like down here in the South, baby. Coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
What if I told you there was a radio producer who went to 3 colleges for 8 years, but isn't called doctor? What if I told you he spent an entire semester's worth of financial aid on fireworks, booze, and lap dances? What if I told you his time at Clemson includes jail time? What if I told you he has a poster of Trevor Lawrence pinned to the ceiling above his bed? ESPC 30 for 30 presents Crazy Charlie, the Mighty Drunk Predneck.
Good morning. Traffic's on the increase out here now on 24 up by Harding Place. You got all that traffic coming in from Rutherford County, 1900 block of Springfield Highway over in Union Hill on an accident. Still on the scene working a two-car collision, 1600 Murfreesboro Pike. That's going to put it right near that library. Traffic's building up through Brentwood and Franklin on 65 North. Check out the all-new Andre Chicken Sandwich now available at Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide 2 enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser man, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 4685 Trousdale Drive in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquors615. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. That's 800-648-9175.
Before the weekend's big football game, tune in to Against the Spread, the only sports handicapping show you need. Every Saturday morning at 9 on Nashville Sports Radio with Kevin Todd and Randy Rosenblum, the nation's number one sports handicapper. He turns outcomes into income. Against the Spread, every Saturday morning at 9 on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Get into the Bill King Show. Shit, man, I just lost my train of thought. All right, dude, here's a couple of phones. 3, 2. Call 615-844-5600.
Quick note here. Chris in Madison, Wisconsin. Bill, Badgers' next QB is Chase Wolf. If there's no Graham Mertz because of COVID and 21-day sit out, then you have Jack Cone, who's out with a foot, I guess. So next to line is Chase Wolf. I believe he's a third-year sophomore. Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know much about Chase Wolf. I couldn't tell you. But that's the name perhaps you better keep your eye on if indeed this is what we're thinking it is. Again, Graham Mertz, the outstanding quarterback, at least in his debut, he was outstanding. Tested positive for COVID-19. They're going to try and confirm that. But if they get confirmation, then he's out bare minimum 21 days. That's their protocol. Protocols are not uniform throughout America, league to league, whatever. They're not. It's not one NCAA rule. Down to Fort Myers, Frankie is our favorite vet down there. What's up, Frankie?
So how you doing, Bill?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. Hadn't talked to you in a while, but anyway, I'm on the way to the office this morning. I got a couple of hogs and a black bear waiting on me there, you know, to do a little bit of work on.
Yeah.
Are we not missing the point here that on both of those controversial plays that the refs blew the whistle and called the plays dead? And, how can you assume that in that Arkansas game that an Arkansas kid was going to recover the ball, and in the Ole Miss game that an Ole Miss guy was going to recover the ball? And, when are those officials going to learn to let a play go because you can review it?
Yeah, Frankie's talking about Auburn in this case. Frankie went there. And the game with Arkansas, it was a play where Nick spiked it backwards, basically, and it should have been a fumble. They say in the rule that if you don't make a concerted effort to get on the ball, then it erases the play. And you also mentioned the whistle there, too. And then in the Auburn game, they just, I guess they reviewed it, but they didn't stop play to review it. I guess they review every play, and
yeah,
they just...
But you can see the official in the background when Shivers is turning around. He's waving his arm over his head and blowing the whistle.
Right.
Play's dead. It's a touchback. Shivers had just as much a chance to get that ball as an Ole Miss kid did. So the refs, I just think, that you're missing a point. There's no doubt those calls suck, but it's the officials – that need to let a play go so they can give it the opportunity to get overturned, not, say, oh, my God, we lost the game because of the officiating, which perhaps they did, perhaps they didn't.
Frankie, what's the most vicious animal you've got to look at today?
It's going to be a black bear. I'm telling you, man, I got fishing game bringing one in. And believe me, I'm not going to be biased against it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to treat it with tender, loving care.
So big black bear's coming on in.
Yeah, you know why I have to do that? Because his feelings are hurt so damn bad. Yeah. Hurt feelings. But think about it. If you are a black bear,
yeah,
it's nice to be able to have your feelings hurt for a change. Because, it's been so damn long since you've had a chance to have your feelings hurt. I think it's time to move on. But I think the thing is why don't those SEC suits in Birmingham make those officials keep the whistle in their hand instead of in their mouth on a play like that it play out?
By the way, somebody said, and I don't know if this is true, it was on Twitter, so who knows, that's the same crew both times.
I don't doubt it. And I've been given to Auburn for 15 years, and this year, they let us defer our donation to next year. So I sent my 15 to Birmingham, and maybe it's paying off. Yeah, you never can tell, but I mean, you know, you've been around football long enough to see how many times Auburn's had the ball bounce the other way against them. I mean, I don't see how you can say that Ole Miss definitely recovers that ball or Arkansas definitely recovers that ball, because you see a bunch of the players quit. But anyway, that's on that. And they should have been reviewed, and maybe that would have changed the whole thing. But the other thing is, too, is if you don't let somebody block a punt for a touchdown against Arkansas and you don't throw an INT in the end zone against Ole Miss, then what the hell difference does it make?
Frankie, there's the music. They're kicking me off here. But stay in touch, bud. Love hearing from you, man.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
There he is. There's Frankie down there in Fort Myers. He's a vet down there. Said one time they brought a huge snake in there that made him look at. Had to fix a snake. Hour three. Bowls of steel coming up.
We beat your ass, boy. I'll let you, Bill. These boys are so lame, man.